Red Film Radio, Torino Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, Italy.
Angela Cerbi of Red Film Radio from the Lovers Festival in Torino. I'm here with the director of The Cake Maker, Ofira Ugaitzer. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Your film is a film about love and food. More food than love, actually. The love story is the engine of the plot, ends at the very beginning. But can you tell us just a little bit more about the plot of the film?
Well, the story tells about a guy called Thomas, who is a baker from Berlin. He has a beautiful bakery and he's doing amazing cakes. And one of his permanent customer, repeating customer, is Oren. He's an Israeli guy who, because of his job, is coming to Berlin once a month. And whenever he's coming to Berlin, the first thing he does is going to the bakery of Thomas and eats his cakes. And between the two of them start to develop a love story. But the problem is that for Oren, he actually has a wife and child in Jerusalem. So Oren is having this double life, this normal life in Jerusalem, family, wife, children. And in Germany, he has this affair with Thomas. And the story actually starts with the death of Oren in a car accident in Jerusalem, which leads Thomas to travel to Jerusalem and start a journey there to find out something, to discover something about his lover. And what he discovers in the end is the wife of his lover.
Your lead character as a kind of a, is not obsessed with this man, but he was so in love with this man, they needed to keep some connection with him. So, in this case, with his family, with his previous life. It's really interesting how you managed to tell the growing relationship between him and his lover's wife. How did you work on that?
Well, I think it's come from, if we talk about food, you mentioned food before, it's coming from the need. They need something. He needs this relationship, this contact with the woman, because this is the way to get into the life of his dead lover. Like you said, he really, really loved him. He was really dependent on him in a way. And she also needs it because she lost her husband. She lost the father of her child. She has this cafe that she's struggling to keep. And this German guy is coming and he's providing her a chance to make a new life. I mean, he's starting to cook for her, to make the cakes, the cookies that everybody wants to eat. So it's basically about from this need to fill the gap, to fill the what is lacking, what is missing after the death. This is where the both of them go into this this empty space, this empty gap, and fill it.
During the development of the story, there is this clash between his way of preparing, doing food, and the kosher way of doing food. Is this kosher thing that strict as you showed it? And the reaction that the non-kosher food that we see in the film is actually what could happen in reality? Or it was just over-dramatized for the film's sake?
Well, the thing that the reaction, it was not over dramatized. I mean, the first reaction when it's simply forbidden for him to use the oven, to turn on the oven, to turn on the fire. Basically, this is the rule. So it's not over dramatic. This is the reality. There are people who take care of this, who make sure that these rules are being observed. And if you don't observe these rules, you can lose your certificate. And in a place like Jerusalem, it's extremely important because in Jerusalem, most of the people, let's say, of the Jewish community, most of them are religious. There is a majority of religious people from different kind of religious. I mean, there are also a lot of secular people who still also eat only kosher. So if you lose this certificate, it is problematic for you. And that's why it is really, it's from reality. It's something I know from the time I used to work in restaurants and cafe when I was a teenager and when I was 20. I know this thing. But I think that, let's say, the final reaction to it, and I don't want to do a spoiler in the film, but let's say something that happens to it, it has nothing to do with the kosher. And the kosher is becoming an excuse. You know, the fact that he's a foreigner, the fact that he's a man, and she just lost her husband, you know, the fact that he's German, that he's non-Jewish, all of these are providing enough reasons for them not to want him. But even also, like all these reasons, they still find a way to let him stay there, because let's say he's not allowed to turn on the oven, but then they find a way that she tells him, okay, we will manage, there are some rules, and anyway, they still keep the certificate, and he can still cook there. And not only cook there, they also open their heart to him. They invite him for Shabbat. The brother-in-law, he finds him, he's the religious conservative guy. He doesn't really like him, but he finds him an apartment. He invites him for dinner. He brings him food that his mother cooked. You know, it's like even in this situation, they try to find a way to welcome him, you know.
Listen, we were talking earlier. You tell me that the film was a bit of a struggle for you to be done, because financial-wise, it was intense. And can you tell us something about the production aspect of the film? So how long did it take you to raise the money and to prepare the film, and then how long did you shoot it?
Well, the process of raising the money was basically took 6 years. From the time that we had the first script, we immediately got some very, very small fund, less than 70,000 euros, which was basically our first primary financing. And the next step was to find the rest of the money we needed, which didn't happen. And we apply in Israel, we apply in Germany for all the film funds, for all the film commissions, and we got rejected 18 times. I have 18 rejection letters on my computer, on my desktop. And after 6 years, we just said, okay, we're going to take this very, very little 70,000 euros, and we're going to shoot it like this. Because if we don't, it's finished. I mean, it's lost. And so we just had to do it. So the production, basically, the idea of this production was to do it like a student film. Very, very independent, very, very guerrilla. People who worked, volunteers, 21 shooting days, sleeping together in a hostel, putting all the main location that's in Jerusalem so close to each other physically that we will not even have to drive the crew, you know.
You can walk the crew.
Yes, really. So we found went to Jerusalem for 5 months before the shoot, and I found all the location myself, most of them, and I made sure that the locations were like the cafe, the apartment, the hostel where we stayed, the apartment where the actor was staying. All of these were in walking distance of 10 minutes. And it was right in the center of Jerusalem, so you also have a lot of cheap street food. You have access for everything that you need. You have a lot of people helping from the street, people volunteer who help, who will come in and do like a stunt, who will walk if we need a character walking. It was really like a guerrilla student production, and we had this very small crew.
But listen, I want to ask you about the food thing. The food part is really important in your film. It's like another character, basically. You come from that world, you were telling me earlier. So did you take any inspiration from that?
Yes, of course. I mean, it's a part of me, a part of my character, of who I am. I deal with food. I eat food. I love to eat, I love to cook, I love to bake. Professionally, I also deal with it. I'm a director, this is my profession, but parallelly to making the film, I had to, you know, make a living, I had to pay my rent, so my job was to teach cooking, and because I live in Berlin and I come from the Middle East, so I teach their classes of Israeli, Palestinian, Arab, Jewish food, and this is what I do, how I do to make a living. Dealing with food, not just cooking, but talking about the food, explaining about the food, understanding the food, the cooking experience is something that I really love to do, and of course I put it in the film. Like you said, it's a character. I mean, the food, it connects the characters. It's all around the kitchen. Basically, most of the film happens in the kitchen. They make love in the kitchen. They fight in the kitchen. They have issue with the kosher food in the kitchen. They confess in the kitchen. They tell lies and secrets. It's the food is such an important part of life. It's such a basic thing. It's like, and if we go back to the beginning of the interview, like this need. You know, we talk about this need. So the need is also the need for love and the need for touch and the need for you know, sex, for physical touch, for emotional touch is like the need for food. You have to have it. Yeah. You know, you have. It's like something that we people, we long for it, we need it. And in the food, it allows us to do it, you know, to feel it. And I can talk hours about food, you know. So you know,
I am Italian, so I can do it too.
You're Italian, so you can too, you know. So you can just stop me. But I just want to say that this choice of bakery or pastries was also a very specific choice, because baking is the most basic thing of food. It's thousands of years old. Every culture, almost every culture in the world, has something to do with baking, some kind of bread. And it has so many meanings, because a bread, you can have a simple white bread, you know, like ciabatta, or you can have a bread like full and heavy and, you know, sour, and, you know, like full flour bread. You can have focaccia, which has, it's very like airy and has oil in it, you know, and very strong salt taste, you know. And so it's like different meanings and different ideas through the bread, through the making. So it brings a cultural connotation, it brings a historical connotation, social connotations, even social economical connotation with the food. You can have a very basic, simple, cheap food, or you can have something very fat, rich, organic, whatever. You know, it all has so many meanings, so many ideas into it that are connected to the very core of our existence, of what we need and what we love from when we are children.
Yeah.
So I think this is something that is very evident or very important in the characters, in this character.
Listen, my last question is about the film and its future. What's happening with the film now, besides festivals?
Well, we had a very big festival circle. We're still having. We were in, I think, like 60 festivals already all over the world. And the film has been sold to 15 countries for distribution. It already was released in Israel, where it was extremely successful. It was in the cinemas for 3 months. We had 130,000 admission, which is, for Israeli cinema, is big. It's a small independent movie. It was a huge success, and it's going to come out next month in Spain, and after that in France, and in July it's going to come out in the USA to the cinemas, and it's coming out also in 2 weeks in Korea. So it's really, really extremely successful, and we also sold it to an American producer for a remake.
Really?
It's going to be a remake. Yes, and I'm going to be involved. It's not yet, I can't really say exactly in what way, but for sure in the development. And so it's really huge success, especially when placing it in front of the process of making the film.
I was thinking that at least you have been rewarded for all your efforts and your patience and your stubbornness.
Yes, I feel I'm rewarded now. I feel it's really like it was worth it. You know, I mean, I think, you know, even if we would not have it, if we would not have all of these you know, things going on, I would still believe, I would still feel rewarded, because I'm very happy. I did the film. I love the film. I appreciate the film, and I think it's I see now that it will. Hope that it will help, it will open doors for me for my next movie, that I will need less than 8 years,
maybe a little bit more than 70,000 euros,
and a little bit more than 70,000 euros. Yeah, but of course all of these things are very, very surprising and make us very, very happy, especially distribution, because to get a movie seen,
it's even more difficult than doing it, making it,
yes,
sometimes.
Yes, and it's the most important thing, because it's not about telling a story for myself or my own personal experience. I can also do video out for this, but a cinema should be on the cinema. A film for the cinema should be on the big screen, you know, on Netflix, whatever, you know. But it should be in a screen. It should be told, and this story specifically, it's a story which I think is a story that has to be told, that has to be acknowledged, it has to be shared, because it's I think it's universal story in a way. I mean, I'm not objective, you know, it's in my movie, but I could add that one of the interesting things that happened to me is that in almost every festival that I was in Macau, in London, in Paris, in USA, in Israel, in Spain, almost everywhere I went and showed the film, at least one person came to me and told me that he knows a similar story. Somebody who had a double life and died, and after that the other person found out that they had a double life. And it's not just about gay people being with other married people who have an affair with men. It's also about married people married with a wife, but they had another wife and another child, you know, crazy stories. And it's just everywhere in every culture, in every religion, in every tradition, in every people, in every folk, every nation. It's just incredible. I think maybe this is one of the reason why the film is picked up for distribution in so many places, because I think many people
see themselves and they understand that there is a potential audience for them.
Yeah, and they love to eat.
And they love to eat, of course, yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Ophir. It was Ophir Raoul Greitzer, director of the film The Cake Maker. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.